Good morning. I'd like to wish a special welcome to all our visitors and a special welcome to members of the Hoggett family. In case you don't know, William Hoggett was spelled Hoggett at that time, was the first settler in 1750 to this area. And the Hoggetts have lots of stories to tell from that. If you haven't read the book, Southern Heroes, I highly recommend it because it's a story of three Hoggett brothers who served in the Revolutionary War. The Civil War, which was it? Civil War. And sacrifices that they make to stand up for their religion is unbelievable. So I suggest you read it. If you would stand and we'll sing together hymn number 325, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Father, we thank you that you're our almighty God, our good shepherd, and the one who can lead us through the many trials and problems that we face day to day. We thank you for those who've come to worship today, and we pray that you will be with Tommy as he shares your word with us. Bless us and keep us, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's a great day to be in church this morning. We're celebrating the Lord, and we are crowning him Lord of all. So this morning we'll go over some announcements, and then we'll get right into our wonderful worship service we have planned today. I wanted to remind you that the Quaker Men's Ice Cream Social is coming up this Saturday, August 17th. Come hungry. Go ahead and up your insulin, whatever you need to do. But please join us at our ice cream social from 5 to 7 in the Fellowship Hall. It'll be homemade ice cream and desserts. If you want to donate, by all means, I will take it to take those sweets from you. And the donations of money will go towards the teachers and educators in the church. We split that money up and give them money for their supplies and provisions for their children. Also, I wanted to let you know that the Chuck Wagon Gang Gospel Group will be at Holly Springs Friends Meeting also on Saturday at 6:30, and that everyone's invited to that as well. We're also leaving today at 3 p.m. for a school prayer field trip. It's our second one. We hope this will be a tradition that we will continue on for school years to come. We'll be traveling to schools in Randolph and a little bit further south in Randolph today to pray over those schools that have been impacted by Center or impact Center in some way. And then next Sunday, we'll also be doing the same thing for the schools in Guilford County. And we'll be touching each one of those schools and praying over them for God's protection for our children and the staff and the teachers and everyone in that community that impacts those schools. We'll be praying specifically on site and asking God, the Holy Spirit, fill that place. Because we know that our kids need protection. They need a good education. They need to feel loved. So we'll be praying for that. This Sunday, today at 3 o'clock, we'll be leaving the church. You can follow us or you can ride with us. And then next Sunday as well at 3 o'clock, we'll be doing that. Are there any other announcements that we need to talk about?
At our food drive on Friday, we collected about 410 cans. So thank you for anyone who donated.
Very good. 410 cans for the food drive that were collected. There is a revival tonight at Concord Friends. It's the Western Quarter Revival. That starts at 7 p.m., so you can join us. I'll be speaking and kicking off the revival, and then we'll have guest speakers each night through Wednesday night. So we come out for some good music and a good message that's been given to us by the Lord. Are there any other announcements? If not, will our ushers come forward, please? While they're walking up, I did forget one. Deborah, when's your birthday? Wednesday, isn't it?
Is it
Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think our choir director's birthday is Wednesday, so when you see her before you leave today, make sure you give her a birthday hug and wish her a good birthday this Wednesday. What's your face so red for? Why's your face so red, Deborah?
I also forgot senior meal is this week, okay. And if you can help with senior meal, please come down and sign up, or if you can bring ice cream or cake or ice cream or cake or cookies or whatever to the ice cream supper. I also have a sign up for that.
Okay. Let us pray over our offering. Father God, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for the blessings you've given us, the blessings of friends here this morning to celebrate you, to worship you, and to lift each other up and renew ourselves in our faith. Lord, as we give from our earnings, that we lift those to you, we do so in your name. We do so and place them at the foot of the cross so that you can direct us and guide us how we're to best use those resources, and we can be a blessing to others. We can share the message. We can be disciples and make disciples through the sacrifices of others. As each one gives, as each one receives blessings from you, place your hand of grace on them. Lead and guide them and give them what your will is, so that we can be your hands and your feet in a hurting world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did y'all have a good week? Having a good weekend? It's good. Have any big plans for the day after church? Oh, I was thirsty. Thanks for waiting while I drink my water. Singing in the choir sometimes just make sure it's right. I felt a little parched. Do y'all ever get thirsty? Yeah? When do you get thirsty? Do you get thirsty after you've been dancing? You're sweaty? Yeah. Can you get thirsty after you've been playing basketball or softball? Yeah. Maybe you get thirsty after you've been like out at the barn or, yeah. Layton, do you get thirsty after you've been outside playing with your chickens? Yeah. Well, there's a Bible verse in the book of Psalms, which was written by David. And it's Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2, and it talks about being thirsty. And it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so like when a deer is thirsty and goes to the stream for water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? So what do you think David was saying about being thirsty? Who was he thirsty for? God, yes. You guys are so smart. So he's thirsty for God, and he wants more of God, just like you want that sip of water after you've been playing outside or playing a sport or dancing. So that's why I drank the water this morning and probably looked a little silly. But I want you to think about that as you go into this week and in the future. Think about each time you have you're drinking water or whatever you drink, juice, and you have a straw. Think about slurping up all that goodness. You know, you want to nourish your body both with water and also with God's word. So I want you to think about that the next time you use a straw. I know I will. And I'm going to give each of you a straw today, and you can take it home with you. And my hope and my prayer for you is that each time you look at that straw that I give you, or you go to Wendy's and get a drink and have a straw, that you will think about being thirsty for God and ask God to show himself in your life. So we're going to say a little prayer, and then I'll give each of you a straw. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for each of the children here this morning and the families they represent. And Lord, I would just pray that in the upcoming weeks that you would allow yourself to show in our lives and allow us to slurp up all of your goodness and all of your teachings, and to remember that we need to thirst for you just like we're thirsty when we've been out playing outside or dancing or doing whatever we're doing that makes us thirsty. And Lord, I just pray that as each of these kids go back to school in the coming weeks, or if they've already gone back to school, that they would remember you, Lord, and that they would remember to just slurp up all your goodness, even when they're at school and temptations are thrown their way. And Lord, I just ask all this in your name, and I ask you, please bring us back here safely next week, if it be your will. In Jesus' name I pray.
Who saw God this week? Hey, even more hands. That's awesome. Everybody's getting used to seeing God now. That's a good thing. It's been a great week. I'm back on day shift, so it's been an even better week. No more nights. God's been a blessing this week to me. I've been able to see him working not in my life, not just in my life, but in other people's lives. And it's good to see some folks that have been going under some medical issues or family issues, that they're here this morning, that they're healing, and that they're doing so much better, and it's just good to have you here this morning. Are there any praises that we need to celebrate today? It's good to see Faith here, as that's Faith Shore's a sweet face to see when you look over. I think Forrest may be helping Richard. Richard Heiss had a flat tire this morning, so Forrest was here earlier, but it's good to have Faith here. We love Forrest, but we definitely love Faith. So. And it's good to see Barbara Smith this morning. She had a minor procedure to get her ticker back in line, so she's healing, and it's good to have her here upright and moving. And I promised her that I wouldn't move around too much because it may make her a little dizzy, so I said I wouldn't get too excited up here this morning. And it's good to see Jay and Bonnie here this morning, that they blessed us with their presence, and we're so glad you're here. Any praises? Any prayer requests?
For our family, Preston's procedure didn't come out like we were hoping. He's going to have to go through some more treatment. If everybody could remember our family right now, we're trying to come to terms with what's going to happen.
So we want to Preston Ryan and his family, as he goes through more treatment, and decisions have been made on that. I will let you know that Barbara Wagner and Marvine let me know that Stan's father, Mel Smith, who we've been praying for, has a fractured spine. He's been recovering from that, and they had some lumbar stenosis and high blood pressure that's causing some issues with some pain. So they texted me this morning. They're at a family gathering, and they asked that we remember Mel Smith specifically this morning, that he continues to heal and can feel God's presence with him. Also, Linda Hatchell let me know of a couple folks. Jeff Martin, who's a friend of Linda Hatchell, is undergoing a procedure and has some medical issues. Eugene Sechrist is a dear friend of theirs who is having a cancer diagnosis. And Danny Field, Cody's dad, is undergoing a small operation to fix some salivary glands and that sort of thing. So he's going to have to deal with that aggravating pain of recovery with that. So we ask that you remember those folks as well. Any others?
They're wanting to run some tests on her, and I don't know what she's going to do. And I couldn't give her any advice because she's going to have to make up her mind. But just remember her.
What's her name?
Peggy Allen.
Peggy Allen? Are there any others? Seems like today our needs outweigh our praises this morning. Let's pray we change that. Let's go to the Lord, shall we? Lord, I thank you again for bringing us together, and I just come to you in a reverence, in a submission that you are in control. Lord, as always, we lift you up, and we thank you, and we exalt your name to the world, that you bless us in so many ways, from healing bodies to healing hearts, to bringing people here, reuniting them as a family. Lord, as a family gathers today, a long history of believers, a long history of helping start center friends, a long history of Quakers in this area, bringing your message. We bless that family and their gathering today. Lord, you've heard all the medical needs, and the list just keeps going. There are so many that are unspoken, so many that we don't know, but you know every single one. You have every name written down. You have every need written down. You know the hearts of every person. Lord, we lift them up to you. We place them in your hand. We ask that you cover them with protection, that you give them understanding in decisions that have to be made, good or bad. You give them peace with those decisions, but that we pray that they seek you first and ask for your will and ask for a clear answer from you how they should proceed. As doctors gather and they do testing, we ask that you give them the courage and the knowledge and the understanding to figure out and diagnose and heal upcoming procedures, upcoming questions. We give them to you, Lord. We know you can heal. We've seen it. People in our midst this morning have received your protection, your healing, and your grace. And they're back to celebrate you. They're back to spread your message. Bless any unspoken requests, Lord. You know our needs. You know our desires. You know our hearts. We give it to you. Amen.
Thank you.
So last week, I was talking very passionately about our young people and the role that we have to play in their upbringing, their childhood. I used a proverb about training up a child and made a point to say that if we don't teach the adults now, how can we expect them to raise up a child in the way they should go? And in the ways of Jesus Christ. And I told you there were three P's that we needed to engage with and that we need to embrace to be a positive influence on somebody's life. And this breaks that generational cycle through those three P's. Does anyone remember what the three P's were? This is an interactive message today. Anybody remember what one of the P's were?
Pray.
Preach. And provide. Very good. Pray, preach, and provide. Everyone gets 10 points. Pray, preach, and provide. And I spent the week, this past week, thinking about our role in others' lives and how we can pray and we can preach and we can provide. And then it kind of hit me. Why do we do all this? Why bother with all this praying and this preaching and providing? And I talked about, we talked about raising kids, and yeah, that's a reason why. And sometimes you hear people ask, why are we doing such and such? Or what's the point of that? Today I was reading, when I was writing a message, I was looking in the Gospel of Matthew, and I read this parable that Jesus talked about, that we're going to look at, and it kind of just hit me. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to look at 1 through 13. It's called the Parable of the Ten Virgins. And these are Jesus' words. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they'd all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. "Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So here we have Jesus telling the followers another parable. He loved parables. And he's using references that they would understand in most of these parables. And what a great teaching aspect that is to be able to teach in such a way that it relates real-life scenarios to the people who are listening. They can better grasp the message. And here he was talking about a wedding ceremony, but specifically it was a Jewish wedding ceremony. Like many of Jesus' teachings, he uses the imagery there to teach them and to relate to them. But it's not so specifically about a Jewish wedding. It's about his second coming, the end of the age. It's that wonderful time where true believers win in the end and are part of the new earth and the new heaven. Now, in Jewish wedding preparation, there's a time that, and traditionally, there's a time that led up to the wedding where the bride surrounds herself with 10 virgins, or in other translations, it's 10 bridesmaids. But the key point there is a groom can come at any time after that point. And it's unknown to the bridesmaids and the bride when the groom will show up to claim his wife. The 10 virgins are the ones keeping watch, and they're to give notice that the groom is coming, and they're to provide a lit pathway for those bridesmaids for the groom to find his bride. They don't know when they're coming, so they have to be prepared. Once the groom arrives and takes his bride, the wedding ceremony and celebration begins. And Jesus explains in the parable that there were 10 of them, 5 wise and 5 foolish. It continues that the 10 take their lamps, but only 5 of them brought enough oil. The other 5 did not. It also tells us that the groom took his sweet time in showing up. He took a long time, and therefore they all fell asleep. They became drowsy and fell asleep. They fell asleep with their lamps burning. And the announcement was made, "Wake up, wake up, the groom is coming. Pay attention. Get ready. Here's about to begin." And the 5 who brought enough oil, their lamps were still burning. And the 5 who did not, didn't have any extra oil to use, and their lamps were out. So when they arrived, when the groom arrived, the 5 who did not have enough oil had left to go get some more. And they were too little too late. And the other 5 were invited in to celebrate. So what is this all about? Well, it's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that makes people a little uncomfortable. People get a little squirmy when we start talking about Revelation. When we talk about the end of the age, the end of what we have here, and a returning of our Savior. But many of you may not know, but over the last little bit, and it's been the last few months, I've been working on an emergency plan for the church. Emergency preparedness plan for different things, you know, steps to take in certain events. Well, I have fire maps for every classroom, staging locations in case something wants to happen. If there was a gas leak in the kitchen, I've got a written out plan for that. If there's a tornado warning, where would we go? There's a tornado warning. Who would be at the corners of the church looking to see if there was any funnel clouds nearby? An intruder. Unfortunately, we have to have plans for active shooters in places of worship. What would we do? What would happen? How would that look? Who would take part in helping move people? Who would run? Who would hide? And who would fight? We have a defibrillator in the hallway there in case someone collapses. We have a first aid kit in the kitchen in case someone has a boo-boo. They need a Band-Aid. I think there's one in the church van also in case there's a boo-boo on the road. Someone may be hard of hearing. We have headphones so that we can have someone listen and have the sound directed to their ears more clearly. And in the unfortunate event that you don't bring your Bible to church, hint, hint, we have Bibles in the pew for you. Now, the most important thing is if I'm the fallout up here, we got an emergency elder. In case of emergency, break glass. And she will continue the service. So there's always a plan. There's always a plan. Now, if I just fall out, open worship. We have the same thing in everyday life. In emergency services, and what we do, we have in the government, we have what's called continuity of operations. It's a continuity of government to make sure that in the event of something major happening, things can continue. Banks will stay open. Food will continue to be moved. We can shut down highways and free up toll roads so that truckers can move product back and forth. It's all for public safety, and it's all being prepared. In your home, you may have a storm kit. If you don't, I encourage you to get one or make one. Flashlights, candles, oil lamps for power outages. You may have a generator in case it gets cold and you need some heat or a light, or you need to keep that frozen food from spoiling. Some people have kits in their cars, like de-icer, a scraper, those little hot hand pouches. I keep a bunch of those in my patrol car. They're wonderful. Some have a blanket, just in case. You never know when you need a blanket. I know a few people who carry snacks with them. Maybe some goldfish or some cheddar bunnies. They keep them in their purse. I will not name any names, Whitney. I'm sure if you looked in some purses, you were likely to find snacks. Maybe peanut butter and jelly and a loaf of bread. Maybe a crock pot with a roast cooking. A case of drinks and quite possibly a full body decontamination kit in some purses. And y'all laugh, but y'all know who I'm talking about. You're prepared to feed the 5,000. You can repair their garments, knit them a sweater, patch their wounds, and have enough change to dump out on that grocery store counter that it takes you 10 minutes to find that one penny so you don't have to get 99 cents back. How aggravating is that? But that's being prepared. Because you got that one penny, it's just at the very bottom of your purse. So you got to move the kitchen sink out of the way to get to it. But when I was working on this message, I kept thinking about being prepared, emergency preparedness. And I remember something I read, it's been a little while ago, about how to prepare for zombies. I'll tell you right now, if the zombie walked through that door, I will not stand here and be preaching. I promise you that. But I Googled it, and I Googled zombie preparation. And did you know that the Center for Disease Control, the people that actually control all the little bugs and they keep studies of all the diseases, actually has a webpage designed on how to prepare for zombies? Now, I kept looking and I thought, okay, that's a little weird that the government now has a zombie page. But it was a tongue-in-cheek way, and it was a fun way of teaching people how to be prepared for all types of disasters. And so when you went to it, it linked and said, okay, for zombies, you need a minimum of this. But it was also the same for a storm kit. It was also the same for bad weather. So it was a tongue-in-cheek way of getting younger people. And it's even got a resource for teachers to teach kids how to be prepared for any little thing that may happen. And as a Boy Scout, I quickly learned that the motto of being prepared, be prepared, was something to take very seriously, because there's nothing like being stuck in the woods without something that you need. Right, George? It's the worst. It's the worst. Regardless of the situation, none of us want to be caught off guard during a natural disaster or any type of incident or any type of emergency. We never want to miss out on what's coming. We never want to be caught sleeping on the watch. We always want to have enough oil for our lamps, like the first five. And that's the heart of the message here today. We don't want to be caught off guard when the Lord returns. We've got to be prepared. We want to be ready so we can be present when the groom shows up to claim his bride, the church. I don't want to know anyone that Jesus looks at when the time has come and he shuts the door. And he says, I do not know you. How awful. How awful would that be to know someone, and you very well may know them today, that they may say, I got to go get some more oil. And they come back and it's too late. And sadly, I realize that there are those who have gone on before me who Jesus said, I do not know you. We don't want to be one of the five that didn't have any oil for their lamps. We don't want to be rushing around trying to find our faith when Christ returns. Because it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And look at that last verse. Keep watch, because you do not know the day or hour. People have tried to predict the end of the world, the end of this, what we understand is this temporal place that God created. And they've been wrong every time. They've gone on and lived their lives being wrong. We have all these preparations for a storm, a gas leak, a fire. And we don't know when a disaster is going to strike. We don't know when a tornado is going to come. We have some warning. And we can guess about snowstorms, because I can guarantee you if it says there's going to be 1 inch, we'll have a foot. And if they say there's a foot, there's a dusting. So you don't know what you're going to get. But shouldn't we be just as prepared for the day the Lord returns? Shouldn't we be prepared for the day we stand before Him and answer for our faith and our deeds? That's one thing we don't need to forget. We won't just answer for the faith that we have. We'll answer for the works that we do in that faith. We won't answer just for works. Faith without works is dead. And works without faith is dead. I can't just have faith. I can't just believe. I actually got to do something. Absolutely. Revelation 20 says, and this is John's written account of what he was given by the Lord, and it says, I saw a great white throne to the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire, praise the Lord. This lake of fire is the second death, but anyone's name who was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. They were judged according to their deeds. I asked a question earlier, why do we bother to pray, preach, and provide? Why do we have all this responsibility to pray, preach, and provide? It's our faith in action. It's our faith in action. Our works, our deeds must involve praying for others, preaching the gospel. In whatever way is comfortable for us, whatever our calling is. Like I said last week, it's not about standing up here and everyone has a message. Everyone has their own style of preaching through service, through greeting cards, through a hug, through a simple phone call or a text message, or through serving the less fortunate. And by doing that, we're providing for the needs of others. It's in these three where we live out our faith that we are called to do. Simple acts of embracing the salvation of Christ, the grace and mercy of an almighty God, and we're rewarded with the glory of heaven. This isn't some secret answer. It isn't some national government secret that you got to have a code to. It's real simple. We can pray in our own way. In fact, Jesus tells us not to get long-winded and send up empty words. We don't have to recite some chant or some creed or some thing that a guy with a funny hat says we have to do. We can just say, Lord, you know it. Lord, I just pray for Jane Doe. I don't know what her need is, but I know she's got something. Lord, just take it. We can preach through examples, through service, and we can provide for others. That is our faith in action. When the day comes and we depart this life and we stand before God and are questioned about what we did to prepare, we're questioned about the oil in our lamps, we should be able to say that our works combined with our faith are recorded in that book, that our names are in that book, because I believed in Jesus Christ and I told people about Jesus Christ and I helped others who need to know about Jesus Christ. And we spent the limited days that God has given us on this earth, because they are limited, and we proclaimed Him as supreme ruler. We proclaimed Him that He is the Lord of all. We crowned Him Lord of all. We should be able to say that we prayed hard, that we preached loud, and we provided plenty, leading others to salvation that produces real life change and faithful works. Because if we're spreading the message and someone else is saved, then guess what? They're going to spread the message. And it's kind of like you get one, and then one tells three, and then three tell five, and five tell 10, and 10 tells 100. And if everyone is devoted to that message, whoo boy, what will heaven look like then? So are we fully prepared with our lamps full of oil to keep watch like the five virgins in the parable? Are we praying, preaching, and providing until the day the Lord comes? Because I don't know when that is. But I'm going to continue like it's tomorrow. I'm going to continue like it's today. I'm going to continue like it's in 5 minutes. We have opportunities. We have people we come in contact with and situations where we respond to, we can display in our way and we can respond in such a way that they see Christ in us. They see the Holy Spirit. Man, He sure does have a positive outlook on all this. Where does He get that from? Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're going to get downtrodden, sure. People say, why are you so happy? How do you just take it and just move on? You just accept it. And I say, I give it to God. I pray about it, and I just let him have it. And I don't worry about it anymore, because whatever happens, God has gotten control of it. What will the dash between your birthday and your death day contain? Will it be a life lived or a life lived for Christ? Are the five who came prepared, helping the bride get her groom, or are we the five caught off guard and unprepared? What will the dash between your birthday and your death day contain? Are you prepared for Christ to return? That's the whole question. And you do so by praying and preaching and providing. Because there's a lot of people who aren't prepared. There's a lot of people looking for oil. And we can help them get that oil. If you feel today you haven't been fully prepared, you're not ready for the moment that you see Jesus, take the time in the quiet. Now's your preparation moment. Now's your time to say, Lord, prepare me. I'm ready. Tell me what I need to do. I'm renewing my commitment to you, because guess what? Christians who are saved can get downtrodden. They can get tired. Their faith can dwindle. And maybe we need to re-energize and renew that commitment and say, Lord, I am prepared. I've got all the oil in the world, and I'm ready to share it with others. Lord, I don't want you to tell me I don't know you. I don't want you to slam the door on me. If you don't know that there's a God who loves you unconditionally, let me promise you there is. If you question his presence, even slightly, let me help you with that. Take time to pray that your eyes are opened and that you can see him. Ask them, Lord, just come in my life and show me your presence. I just want to know you're there. And he will. If you need the reassurance of a love that's unconditional, I'd love to pray with you. There are no judgments. There are no opinions. There are no questions. There are no comments. In the quiet, if you need someone to pray with you, I am right here. I will place my hand on you. I will put my arm around you, and I will pray for you if you don't know what to say, if you don't know what you need. I invite you to come down. The choice is yours. You can stay right in your seat, and you can love Jesus from your seat, and that is okay. But if you're stuck, there are those here who will pray with you. There are those here who will cry with you. But praise the Lord, there are those here who will celebrate with you to know that when Christ comes, we'll be together.
Our closing hymn is page 120, He Hideth My Soul. Please stand and sing verses 1 and 4.
Again, we just praise you and exalt your name today that you've given us a message to consider through the week, Lord. We ask that you protect us and guide us, that you give us the strength and courage to reach the lost. In your name, amen.